Hi, welcome to our podcast, Where Next? Travel with Kristen and Carol. I am Kristen.
And I am Carol.
And we're two long-term friends with a passion for travel and adventure.
Each episode, we interview people around the globe to help us decide where to go next.
In today's episode, we're meeting with Sylvia from Barcelona, Spain. She shares what she loves about the area, the food, the nature, and why she returned after spending several years in London. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
So nice to see you finally.
Thank you, Sylvia, for joining us from where today?
Well, today I'm in London, actually. So yes, I'm not at home.
Nice. Okay, very good. Yeah, I think we were going to meet several weeks ago, but then so many things kept changing and I got sick and the holidays. So yeah, I'm glad we're finally making this happen.
And yay! I lost my voice as well when we were going to the recording. So,
Okay. So you're in London, but you're typically based in Spain.
Barcelona,
is that correct?
Yes.
Barcelona. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to learn about Barcelona Day, but I think you have some really great backstory. So like, how did you get to have such a kind of fluid work schedule and what enables you to be able to travel so much?
Initially, I came to UK like many, many years ago, just because I needed to learn English because I didn't speak any English at all. And
where
I was
from?
Initially from Barcelona.
You are. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yes. I am from Barcelona. Yes.
Yeah.
And I came just for 3 months, but I soon realized that 3 months wasn't enough to learn the language, especially when you start from zero. So I decided to stay a little bit longer. And then 20 years later, I went back to Barcelona. So I spent most of my adult life here in the UK. So I feel like being at home when I come here, but no, definitely home now is Barcelona.
Where do you stay in the UK? In London or some other town?
I'm in London. Yes, I'm in London now. Yes, right in the middle of London. Really, really nice. I'm not used to with the UK weather anymore. And I'm freezing. I'm so cold.
What's the temperature like over there right now?
Over here, it's freezing. So it's about 32 Fahrenheit for you guys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for translating.
Yeah, I was going to translate it the other way. Then.
I took a note and I wrote the equivalent from, so, because I knew that this was going to happen. I was going to have to tell you Fahrenheit so we understand each other.
I love it.
Yeah, so right now here in London is below 32 Fahrenheit. So yeah. It's really, really cold. And I'm not used to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Because right now in Barcelona, the weather in winter normally is between 9 and 12 Celsius, which is 48-53 Fahrenheit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's about, what I can
that's
handle.
That's where I'm at right now is about that. Yeah.
Yes.
In Northern
that's
California.
It. Lower than that is just too cold for me.
Yeah.
So, yes. I'm not used to it anymore. Yeah.
You have a beautiful accent. It's so funny because I'm getting to, you and Carol have talked, but I haven't. So it's kind of fresh eyes. And when you first talked, I thought, oh, she's from the UK and maybe she stays in Barcelona. And then now just hearing that, now I can hear both. And it's.
Yes, I learned the language here. So I started from zero. So, to me, it's just a normal way to speak, really. But yeah. Yeah, and I lived for a year in Australia years ago, and they thought that it was so funny that a foreigner spoke English with such a British accent, and they were just laughing all the time.
Yes, it's very unique. I love it. Yep.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just curious about growing up. So you grew up in Barcelona, and then what made you want to learn English and get...
But to be honest with you, it was a little bit like an excuse for me to go and travel and go on my own. I was very young and I've been working and studying, and it was like, I'm just going to put this excuse because it's like perfect excuse. Everybody should speak English. So there we go. And it was perfect because everybody really believed it. So, that's how I came to the UK. But initially, as I say, it was just going to be for 3 months, mm-hmm. and I ended up staying 20 years because at the time it showed to me that I had more opportunities here in the UK. And I study here, my degree, my master's, professionally. This is where I grew up and I made myself. So, and one of the reasons why I'm able to work from wherever I am now is because I did a master's in translation. So I can, you know, I do my work, my translation work from anywhere, really. So I just need my computer, good internet connection, and that's it. And also I got the qualification, TEFL qualification. So I teach English as a foreign language.
So, and
photography online as well. So I can work from online, yeah, wherever, yeah.
So you are translating, so you work completely online, it's your own business, and you,
yes,
you teach English and English and you translate as well?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's great. So what made you then 20 years later and you're online to now go back to Barcelona?
You know, you miss your family. And I have two little nieces and they are the world to me, and we are really a close family, and I just really miss that. I'm going to say this because my family will be listening, but the weather was a big thing, really. I had to know with this weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think that when we are in Barcelona in winter, you still have the chance to sit outdoors, you know, to have a meal by the sea, to have a drink. It's just, you know, I really miss that. For many years, I miss it. So now I spend all the time I can outside, and I meet all my friends and family. And just the other day, we were having a big meal with the family, just sitting outside by the beach where we live, outdoors, and in the middle of winter. No way you can do this here in the UK, you know.
Yeah. And with parkas maybe and like covers and heaters or something.
yes. And I just don't enjoy it like that. I mean, I love the UK. I mean, don't get me wrong. I grew up by the Mediterranean when, you know, mm-hmm. the winters are, you know, quite mild, and I'm used to spending a lot of time outdoors. Yeah. And you miss that. You miss that when you can't do it.
So do you have two different places, one in the UK and one in Barcelona?
Oh, no, I don't have one in the UK anymore. No. Okay. No. But when I come here, I just come and visit friends and my British family. So, yes,
yeah.
I stay here. And it's nice. It's nice to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Nice cosmopolitan city, like one of the best cities in the world. Just to That's amazing. You have a dream life. And then live in Barcelona, and then if it gets too hot in the summer, you just go visit your friends in London,
right? Exactly. And it's just less than 2 hours from Barcelona London flight is less than 2 hours, so that's one of the good things about Barcelona as well, is you know, the position, the location is really, really good to travel all around Europe. And it's, you know, the longest that you can do, I don't know, 3 hours flight, you know, to go somewhere in Europe, but just nothing, really. For you guys, right. You do like really long distances.
Yeah. That's a ski trip, ski day for Kristen.
Absolutely, hours, it is. Tahoe.
And then also trains. Is there a lot of trains that you can go to, like Italy, go to Paris?
Exactly. That's another thing you can do here in Europe. You can just go by train anywhere. So, and it's really, it's quite good, affordable as well. So, yeah, it's great.
So what brought you to the UK? How long are you there for? What do you split your time? Do you split your time, or is it just kind of how you feel? Like I'm going to go here?
Yes. There? Sometimes it's just because last time I was here was about a year ago now. Mm. So it's been quite long for me traveling. But last year was a little bit, you know, I was really, really busy at home. And it was so hot as well during the summer. It was unusually hot. And it really didn't feel like doing much, you know, just staying at home, just by the sea. And I have a little swimming pool as well. So it was really like, you know what, I'm just going to wait for the weather to get a little bit cooler. So, yeah. But normally, yeah, I'm based in Barcelona. So I live there. And I actually live just about 40 miles south from Barcelona by the sea. So it's not actually in the city.
I saw on your link tree that the elephant sanctuary and then your woman in Vietnam. Can we just touch a few minutes on that? And then we can share the links in the show notes.
Yeah. 2017, I traveled to Vietnam for the first time and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then when I was traveling around Hoi An, I just experienced like a bit of kind of a negative feeling when I saw some of white and respectful tourists treating quite badly the women that work around the markets. I was a little bit shocked because, you know, one of the things that I always really worry about when I'm traveling is always to be very respectful for, you know, wherever you go, the people, the place, their culture, even if that's, that culture is very, very different from yours. You have to respect wherever you go. And I was a little bit hurt seeing how some people were treating these women. And it just stayed in the back of my mind. And then 2 years later, I decided to go back and just work on a photography project and just having them as the main subject of the project and just kind of like giving them a little voice to show to the, you know, to the world who they are. They are women that have gone through really, really tough life. And then they still working very, very hard. Most of them are really, really old. They are, most of them are on their own as well because they have lost most of their family and the men. And I thought that I just wanted to do that project to honor them, really. And this is still developing. So I'm still working on it.
One of your artistic projects then. Yes. So you're an artist as well.
Ongoing project. Yes. Yes.
Very cool. And what's up with the elephant in Chiang Mai? What's that all about?
Oh, when, yeah, I was just last, in November, I was in November, in Chiang Mai and I just had, I just wanted to go back to see the elephants because I just, well, I love elephants and I just had an amazing experience and I just wanted to, see places, you know, again, respectful with the environment and the animals and yeah. And I found a few places. So now I can talk about them as well in social media. And if you're interested, so I can tell you where to go.
Okay. Very good.
I'm just on your website. Cause I'm like, wait, what? I got to see these pictures and I just see one picture. So I click on, travel photography and I see the one, it's a back of someone with these beautiful like baskets that they're holding.
Yes. Part of the Vietnam project. Yes. Yes. Oh. And they are all women in that project. Yes.
And so I just see one photo of an older lady with a hat. I don't know what they call them. Just seems like she's holding a bag or something. The one photo, is there other photos or just?
Yes. I got an Instagram account that is just dedicated to that. So don't worry. I will send you the links.
Yes. Yeah, no, we'd love to share it too. That's so
yeah, because
great.
In that project also, I work not only with photography, but also with my art practice and I introduce collage and printmaking. And so it's a little bit of, you know, it's wilder than just what initially I intended, but yeah.
And have you had the chance to show your art at all yet, or is that something you want to do eventually?
Well, the idea was to do that, but again, you know, COVID arrived, and then, as we all know, just stopped everything that we were doing. So it took. It's going to take a little bit longer, but it will be there. Yeah, and I also feel like I owe to. Barcelona to have an exhibition because all my exhibitions have been here in the UK, you know, the photography and the art exhibitions.
Before.
Here in London and in the south of the UK where I used to live. So yeah, and I feel like I ought to have one, you know, in my in my city in Barcelona. Okay. So
the photography is just we must go to our opening.
Yes. I will send you the invitation. Absolutely. And then you can visit Barcelona and you know, see all the places, the nice places I'm going to be telling you about now. So,
yes, I wish.
Oh, that's great. So it looks like, so I didn't know the photography. It's not a side project. Is it more, or is it just a hobby or, and then you're a translator?
Well, the truth is that if you ask me, you know, who you are, I'm an artist and I work with mixed media and photography. But the truth is to be able to live as an artist and carry on with my art practice, I had to have something in the side. And that's why, you know, I did my master's in translation and I have my translation business. So then I can have both and I can, you know, carry on with my art. Practice.
I totally understand. I am an executive recruiter and podcaster. I compete in wake surfing and hill events and backpack and take kids out. I do a lot of different things.
So. And when you're so passionate about something, you just can't leave it. No matter how, you know, it's going to take you to get there, you will do it. Well, so if you like hiking, you got a very, very nice hiking here in the north of Catalonia.
Oh, yes.
And in the mountains, in the Pyrenees. Uh-huh. So you see that, again, it's another nice thing about being in Barcelona. You got both walls. You got the sea, amazing beaches, and also you got the mountains. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to sound pedantic, but Barcelona is a beautiful, beautiful place to live. We got everything, nice weather as well, nice food, culture. So,
okay,
guys, you have to come and visit.
Absolutely. What were the mountains that you mentioned?
The Pyrenees.
How do you spell it?
Oh,
the PY, right? It's, Pyrenees.
It's just in the border between France and Spain.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, Barcelona is so far north. I always thought of it like
yes.
Barcelona way down is by the northeast or something. Oh, it's way up there.
Yes, in the northeast, and it's just about 100 miles from French border.
Oh, look at that!
Yes,
okay. And so they just go west, and you'll hit the mountains, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. But again, you know, we go skiing from Barcelona, and it's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and you are in the skiing resort.
In France?
No, in Spain. In Spain.
You have skiing in Spain?
Yeah.
I'm so surprised. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Wow. Yes. In Catalonia.
So how high are the mountains? Do you know? I mean, it's going to be in meters.
About 2,000. Of course, I'm going to say meters. Sorry.
It's pretty close to yards.
Yeah. Just below 3,000.
3,000. So that's probably like 9,000 feet for us. Oh, yeah, that's good size. Okay.
Yes. And again, you know, it's just like very, very close from Barcelona. So you can go just for the day skiing.
Wow. Yeah. And if you want really fancy, not, you know, France and Switzerland aren't too far away, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I went to Barcelona in, 99. It was a long time ago. And I won a trip with my company. We stayed at the Ritz. It was very fancy, very fun.
Okay, yes.
And then we saw Gaudi's La Familia, and all of the. It was just, but the weather to me stood out the most. It was like Southern California, warm, nice, great. Its climate, beautiful.
That's right.
Beaches,
yeah.
Yeah, everything.
It's very similar to the Californian weather. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is it that, you know, in living there, how is it growing up there? What are the things that you did? What do the kids do? Families do?
I had this conversation not long ago, a few days ago. I was with a couple of my friends that we are the same age and we are all from Barcelona. And we're just thinking how lucky we were of, you know, growing up in a place like this, because we were most of the time we were outdoors playing and just spending time out there, you know, playing by the beach. And even in winter, you would just be playing there by the sun. You know, your parents would be sitting in a terrace just, you know, enjoying a meal or whatever, and you just finish eating and you just jump over there. And it's just the freedom of being able to be out there most of the time and eating very nice, healthy food as well. Mm. You know, because we got lots of fruit and vegetables, and which, you know, I took it for granted. But then, you know, I went to live into the UK and then I realized that the fruit didn't taste. I remember just, you know, eating a peach, for instance, and it's like, this doesn't taste anything. Because obviously, but you know, it's normal because the fruit arrive here when, you know, it's still green. I mean, you can't expect the fruit and the vegetables to taste exactly the same. But I remember that just being in my grandparents' garden and just grabbing tomatoes and the taste and the flavor, you know, the smell, everything. It was just so nice. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I was really lucky to grow up in a place like Barcelona.
Oh, I was going to say, typical fruits and veggies that, is it kind of like Californian sort of everything?
Well, in summer, especially the peaches, they're so nice, so tasty. And I'm obsessed because I've been I've been back in Barcelona for about 6 years now, but I'm still obsessed that I need to, you know, to gather lots of fishes. So I do lots of preserves. So I would have to during the winter just in case I run off, you know, because I still got this in mind, like, oh my God, I won't have enough. And then my mom keeps saying, don't worry, darling, you live here now, you can eat as many as you want. But yeah, and lots of strawberries as well. And also eating, being back on eating seasonal fruit and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Because here in the UK, you can find strawberries all year round, which to me, that was very strange because you eat the strawberries just in the summer, beginning of the summer, you know.
It's like us now too. It's all year round, which is different for sure.
Yeah.
What kind of like meals do you like that are traditional? That
well, again, we cook with lots of vegetables. Vegetables are there all the time, and lots of salads as well in summer. And in winter, we do lots of stews with. You know, you can have with meat or vegetables and lots of soups and yes. And one of my favorite ones is like rice stewish with fish. For you to imagine, it's almost like soupy paella. I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, it's so nice. It's so warm. And it's just so, so nice with lots of nice fish because, for instance, where I live, we got the fishmongers there, you know, that the fishermen just arrive in the morning and then just go to the market and have fresh fish. So, and really, really cheap as well.
Yeah. Lots of tapas, I'm assuming, as well.
Yes. Yes.
Things like that.
Yes. And that would be something that you would do on the weekend, for instance, that you have, you know, you have more time and then you don't really want to cook. And then you go out and have a few tapas for dinner and just share with your friends and, it's really, really nice as well. Very cheap as well. Because now, for instance, I'm here in London and I remember this morning I was just going for breakfast and thinking, oh my God, everything is so expensive. Because I'm thinking about the prices. The prices we got in Barcelona are very different.
Yeah. But, what's a traditional tapas? Like, what are the foods or the, because tapas like little plates, right? Of little things.
That would actually vary, depends of the part in Spain you are. Because especially if you are by the sea, then the tapas will involve some fish, some seafood, you know, prawns, clams, things like that, which I adore.
It's like a little mini paella?
Yes, yeah, something like that as well, yeah. And then, gosh, I don't know, corn meat as well, jamón. Lots of different cheeses as well, depending again which part of the country you are. There will be different types of cheese and little cooked dishes as well. So depending of, you know, where you go as well. And some places make just cold tapas, but wherever you go, it's going to be nice anyway. Yeah. I can guarantee you. Yeah.
And what are activities? What do families typically do? What's a typical day look like?
Well, in my family, for instance, we've always been very sporty. So we would always go for either for walks or in summer we'll be like doing lots of swimming. Again, you know, you can swim. We're swimming sometimes from Easter in the sea up to October. So that's a lot of time, you know, lots of chances for you to be out there and swimming. And I know you're interested in surfing. I know you're going to ask me. And I'm going to tell you, the Mediterranean is not like biggest place, the most famous place for swimming, surfing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, just very close from where I live, you got a surfing club. So, you know, you still can do it, but you don't have like the massive waves you would have in the Atlantic side. So, or in Portugal that they are, you know, they're more famous for surfing, and I know you like Portugal as well, but still you can do that, and lots of cycling as well. There's lots of cycling paths outside in the countryside just nearby where I live. You can go with the family for a very nice flat cycling path surrounded by vineyards and, you know, lovely countryside. So that's really, really nice because that's something else. Where I live, just south from Barcelona, I'm surrounded by vineyards. And,
oh, wow.
And they, where I live is where they make the cava, which is our equivalent of the French champagne.
Oh, and what do you call the equivalent?
Cava.
Cava? How do you spell that?
Cava.
Oh, that's easy. Oh, that's okay. That's the Spanish champagne, or is it Barcelona specific?
No, it's Spanish. Yes, but okay. It happens that it's just where it's made. It's just in this area in Catalonia. So, yes, and it's really really nice. And also as a day trip that you can do if you are visiting Barcelona, you can go to one of these vineyards and you can spend a day there, and they take you around. They show you, you know, all the process, making cava. You can have some taste. You can have some lunch in there by the vineyards. Really, really nice countryside. So that's
it's
another
like Napa. Thing. It's like Napa, California.
Exactly.
In Santa
exactly.
Barbara.
Exactly. We've warm. Got that as
oh
well.
Gosh.
So yes.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
And that city was called what again?
It's just an area. If you look for cava, then it will show you where it's made, and it's an area, which is like 40 miles from Barcelona. So,
okay,
it's lovely just spending some time in the weekend there. Yeah, lots of hiking as well. Lots of hiking just nearby where I live. You got this beautiful coastal path that you can go. Just beautiful, the scenery, the sea in one side, little mountains in the other. It's just so nice, and you just can walk. But what I normally do is I may walk from one town to another and then catch the train back. I will walk to the next town, which is Sitges. It's a beautiful, beautiful little town by the sea. Then have a very, very nice meal there, and then catch the train back home.
Oh, so that's nice. Lovely.
So it's really nice thing to do.
What was the city called, you
said? Sorry?
What was the city called?
Sitges, Sitges.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. And again, if you are in Barcelona, you can just catch the train, and it's just like half an hour from Barcelona. You can visit Sitges, which is another beautiful little town by the sea.
Oh, nice.
So when you take these trains, is it just kind of like public transportation? They're always the same price, or is it like, and you're like the train from London to Paris, for example, like the price varies depending on like how soon you book in advance, but are these just more like local trains that you're talking about?
Oh yeah, these are local trains. Yeah, these are local trains. You don't need to book in advance. You just buy in a day. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a south, it looks like, south along the coast.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it looks like there's a lot of mountain areas right around.
And you can actually work, you know, most of the coast along Catalonia all the way to France. You can walk by the sea. There's a coastal path.
Wow.
Beautiful. You can go from town to town. There's people that do that in summer, and they just, you know, walk from town to town by the coastal path. And they are amazing because you go through, you know, lots of pine tree areas, because this is very common to see, you know, we have lots of pine trees by the sea. And actually, I was mentioning this to my friend the other day, that the smell that brings us to back to our childhood memories is the mix of the pine trees with the sea salt.
Mm.
You know, that makes
that's
it just
that
like,
is unusual. Yeah.
That's my kind it's of like, combo.
it's like, you know, it always brings me back to, you know, my childhood memories, you know, walking by these coastal paths and just, you know, the shady beach by the sea and the smell of the pine trees. It's
oh,
just
wow,
so nice.
One of our podcasts coming up, we're going to be interviewing someone that did the El Camino Real, which I think is like more in the northern. That seems so amazing. I can't wait to hear about it. But doing that same with, but like by the sea, just blows.
Exactly.
Exactly.
To me, it's just like the perfect hiking because where I grew up by that. And it's just.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And I'm looking at a map and I kind of stand out to see, wait, how far is France from there? Because I thought it was a plane ride, and it still looks pretty far if I'm looking, right? It's got to be a couple hundred miles, or is it?
How far is it?
From France, that walking path. You said it goes all the way to France?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, walking, yeah, it's going to take you because it's about, from Barcelona, it's about 100 miles.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. So that's not that far, actually. I thought it was.
No. Well, yeah, in European standards, you know.
Yeah.
It's 100. But my grandma used to live in the south of France, and I used to go there to visit her for the day from Barcelona. Yeah.
How did you go visit her? Take your bike and just go?
No. By car.
Driving my car.
Like, yeah. No.
Yeah. That's okay. Perfect. I was like thinking how young, you know, with it. So just a couple hours. So you just get in the car and go a couple hours. I did not realize it was that
all
fun.
That. So it's beachy. So it's not rocky. It's like beachy roads. Paths. Yeah.
Here in Catalonia, we got like two sides. Where I live is really flat and very sandy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like halfway up to the north, is very rocky.
Oh, okay.
And that, you know, there is really this coastal path is just amazing. And again, you know, you can do that. You can go from town to town and just go up there, and you can camping in there, and then carry on. And it's just really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, it sounds amazing.
And then on the sea, is there a lot of sailing or paddle boarding? Is there any sports that people do on the?
Yeah, all of that. Because as I said, nearby where I live, there's a couple of clubs that they do sailing. It's so nice to see as well. All, you know, young kids doing that once a week. They do that as activities, and they sailing and they do surfing, paddle surf, all sorts. And also because it's quite flat as well for them to learn, is really, really nice. So it's nice. And also from home, because I can see the sea. Sometimes you can see the little boats when they are training during the week, and the little sails in there is so nice.
That sounds fun. How so you said it's relatively inexpensive to live in Barcelona. I was curious cost wise, how much it costs to, I mean, gosh, well, now I'm like, I want to go.
Well, Barcelona, like any other big city, is always more expensive than, you know, surroundings. Living in Barcelona is more expensive than where I live. And I'm just, 40 miles away from it.
Yeah.
But in Barcelona.
Like, how much is it to buy a house or rent a place there? How much is it?
The rental, for instance, more or less for a small apartment in Barcelona is about 800 euros. Now the euro and the dollar is more or less the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's about 800 maybe. And then, you know, if you add maybe about 100 euros in bills, then plus food, extras or whatever, around, you know, 2,000 euros per month.
Maybe. Oh, okay. Okay. And then how is that different? Is that Barcelona or where you live? And it would be like 20%, 40% cheaper where you are?
Yeah, I would say something like that. Yeah. Okay. Cheaper. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I just did 800 euros and it's 867.
Yes, exactly. It's more or less,
for US dollars.
More or less.
Interesting. About the same.
Yeah. It's again, you know, always depending of, you know, if it's a family, kids, what kind of extras do you have, a car? Because most of my friends in Barcelona don't own a car because they don't really need a car. But I own one because where I live, I need one. So that would add some extra. And even where I live is a little bit cheaper, but then I would have to add those extras. So, you know, depending. But again, your groceries are going to be cheaper than other places in the world, even if maybe the living cost of renting and petrol or whatever are a little bit more expensive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it compensates a little bit.
What do families and kids do typically, like sports-wise or like their school life?
Lots of sports, really. Lots. Because I got my nieces. And I remember when I was a child with my brother, my mom, poor thing, she was taxing us all the time because we had sports all the time.
So, yeah.
Yes. And when I grew up, I did figure skating, hockey, swimming. Yeah. And my nieces are doing that as well. And ballet and figure skating and swimming. All the kids that grew up in around Barcelona, they always do swimming. Always. No. I mean, for us, it's almost like I wouldn't know anyone that lives around here and they can't swim, really, because we live by the sea. So
that's fantastic.
What about air conditioning? Is that very common? Or do most people, do you just have to muscle it through on those really hot days? Or is it becoming normal now?
Well, it's actually becoming more and more common, especially after what's happened last summer, because last summer was really extremely hot. It was extremely hot. And even for me, someone like me that I love heat, but even for me, it was at one point I was like, all right, okay, this is not fun anymore. We need to cool down a little bit because it was a little too much. So we actually reached the 86 Fahrenheit and the thermometer wouldn't go below that for days and days.
Oh,
and that's not that common in Barcelona.
Yeah.
So it was a bit too much.
In Northern California, I had, felt like it was 2 weeks of almost 100 plus ever. It was from 100 to 115, 117. And I've never seen that. Yeah, I remember in my car, I got
it. Even here in London, for the first time ever that, you know, since the recordings started, they reached 40 degrees, which is 104 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Never before.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was, but last time I was, it was very, very unusual, very unusual.
Yeah.
And I don't normally use aircon at home ever.
Yeah.
And last summer I did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yes.
I was curious also, like, okay, so someone comes, wants to spend, you know, 6 months there or 3 months or a year. What are the things that they should watch out for or to do specifically that they wouldn't necessarily find on, like, you know, if they Google Barcelona and visits, you know, visit here.
Hidden gems, you know, like hidden gems.
Gaudi's, you know, his artwork, which is amazing, walking around. But what is it that's kind of underground that people may not know about?
Well, I have actually met a few people that they came just to spend a few months, you know, just as, again, because they can work from anywhere in the world and just say, oh, we're going to have a little stop in Barcelona. Most of them just decide to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, as a, you know, from the point of view of someone that comes here, when you are from a place, you tend to take things in, for granted. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you've been away for a long time and then you come back and then you realize, you know, how lucky you are. And then you see things a little bit as a foreigner. And most of the people I've met that they decide to go to Barcelona just for a few months, they just decide to stay longer because all the things that we've been saying, you know, the weather is really, really nice. Food is really nice as well and very cheap to eat out. And it's really good quality. Lots of activities you can do around, you know, especially if you are a sporty person, you know, in summer you can do all the hiking, swimming, surfing. Then in the winter you can do all the skiing, hiking as well, up in the mountains with snow. And also the good thing is if you live in Barcelona, you still can, as we were saying, move around Europe, visit different places in Europe very, very easily. Mm-hmm. I met someone from the northeast coast of the States, from Maine, 2 years ago. And he wanted to spend just, you know, 3 months here, 3 months there around Europe. But after staying in Barcelona, he decided to stay in Barcelona as, you know, the base. And then from Barcelona, just move around Europe because mm-hmm. it's so easy. Mm-hmm. And he thought that it was the best place to stay, to live.
Mm-hmm.
And then move from there.
Mm-hmm. So, sounds like with the wineries, you can see that. With the mountains, you can do that. Skiing, beach. I love that coastal drive to, or the road to France, which I think is just sounds amazing.
Yes. And if you're not a city person and you decide, oh, Barcelona could be a little bit too busy for you, then you can always move just a little bit far away. Further away from Barcelona, like for instance where I live, and it's much, much quieter. And still you are very close, you know, train distance, half an hour, 40 minutes. You mm-hmm. can.
Do you need a car where you live then since you're outside of the city, or can you rely on train enough? Or
I know you can rely. Yeah. You can rely on train.
Wow.
And that's how normally, go to the center, you know, to the city. I never drive. There's no mm-hmm. point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also that train, again, you know, that train goes by the sea, that kind of like almost parallel to that coastal path I was telling you about it. So it's just so nice to do that as well. So the trip to the city is really impressive. So
this gentleman that you said was from Maine that ended up staying there, did he have a car or can you really like stay there?
No, because he lives in Barcelona. So which most of the people I know that foreigners that live in Barcelona, they just either use public transport or they just rent the car like temporary.
Okay.
You can do for just 2 days, just for the weekend or for a week or something. And they tend to do it with a group of friends. So that's much cheaper than owning a car if you don't use it often. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But actually you can go from Barcelona to the Mantis when, you know, to the ski resort by train by bus. So you don't actually need your own car if you live in Barcelona.
Okay. But you have to take a car to get to go skiing.
Well, I do because I choose to do that.
That would be with the skis and all the stuff.
but you can do it. You can do it. It's,
you can. Okay, got it.
Yeah, even in Boulder, there's a bus in downtown Boulder where all the like high school kids and they take the bus up to Nederland, which is a town just like 40 minutes away. Kind of crazy. Yeah. So
that's amazing. Before I had my driving license, I used to do that, you know, with a group of friends. We would just catch the bus and go to the ski resort for the day.
Wow.
And we would do
How
that.
How far
yeah.
was that? Is it an hour? An hour and a half?
2.5, 3 hours, depending of the, you know, the area where you want to go, because we got a lot up in the Pyrenees. So.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Wow. So we're getting close to the end of our hour and I have these rapid fire questions, but Kristen, do you have any other?
The last thing I would have to say is I'm totally loving your accent changing from the UK to a Spanish set, but your English is so amazing. It's just, you know, like as if you were born speaking English and
thank you. Yeah.
It's really good. I know from traveling different countries, I was in South Korea and Bali. Bali speaks English, but it was just so I wanted to be able to talk to people and I didn't have that language down, of course, but loved hearing your accent change. I didn't notice it. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, I don't hear the UK anymore. But I'm sure because you're there right now. And as soon as you get off the phone, start talking, it'll come right back. So it's
yeah, well, the thing is sometimes when I'm speaking in English, but I'm thinking about something that is related to Spain, then mm-hmm. it would change a little bit. And it also works the other way around. When I speak my own language, I'm speaking in Catalan or in Spanish, and then I'm thinking in English. So I'll put English words in there. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And then speaking of languages, so people that come there that are not – do not remember their high school Spanish. And I know the Spanish accent's a little different. How easy it is to get by with just speaking English in Barcelona?
I think it's, you know, there's more and more people now that speaks English. And also we are very used to having foreigners and we make it very easy for you to, you know, if we cannot speak your language, but you know, I always say when there's a will, there's always a way to help or make you understand, or I don't know.
So yeah, very again, friendly.
Yes. Because we're so used to, you know, especially Barcelona is a very touristic place. So we are so used to having foreigners in there and it has never been a problem. And from all these friends that I met from different countries, they have never found it any problem.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Great. All right. So some of my questions, what is your favorite food in Barcelona? Like a meal?
Yes. It's going to have to be that stewy rice with fish thing that is called caldoso.
Caldoso. How do you spell it? C-A-L-D-O-S-A?
D-O-S-O. Caldoso.
Caldoso.
Arroz caldoso. Yeah.
Oh, arroz caldoso with the rice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I just can't have enough of that. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And what did you have for breakfast? What's the typical breakfast there in Barcelona?
I always have, because of my British influence, you know, I always have porridge. with fruit.
Porridge. Okay. With fresh fruit, yes. Peaches, perhaps. Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And then when we were interviewing people, and then I also heard this from another blogger in Portugal that everyone has fresh squeezed orange juice. She said, once you go to the store, you can't even buy orange juice. You buy it in the juicy machine. Is it the same there?
Yes. And okay. I was actually, it's funny because I was just listening to one of those podcasts the other day. And I remember, I think it was the guy that lives in Portugal. Oh, the troubles to Portugal. Yeah. And I remember thinking like him, like, no, of course, why would you buy oranges when you can make your own at home? Because that's what we do as well. Yes. Yes. You know, you got fresh oranges and they just, and he said, as he said, you know, it's just 3 minutes. It takes three minutes to do it. Yeah. And it's much, much better. Mm-hmm. Yes. The thing is, once you're used to, having fresh oranges, then you don't want to have anything
I'm glad you said this. Yeah, I have a huge orange tree that it's falling. I mean, they're like where you pick one orange, there's like five together. It's just orange right now. So I will be doing that this weekend.
And she shared some. She just came to visit me and we gobbled them all down. They were so sweet.
They were so sweet. Oh, yeah.
You know what? One of the things that I planted in my garden when I went back to Barcelona is a lemon tree because I was obsessed with that. And we've got lots of lemons now where, you know, here in the UK, we really have lemon trees or orange trees. So,
good. Yeah. Lemons, limes, oranges. I love them all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then is there a specific type of music? You know, I guess when what's Spanish music? Things like salsa or I don't know.
Oh, gosh, no. Salsa is not Spanish. It's more South American. But, the thing is, there's a huge, huge influence in Spain from the music in, you know, from the UK, from the States. So I'm listening to the radio here in London. It's pretty much the same as I would be listening to in Barcelona, where, you know, there would be few more Spanish bands, obviously, but very, very similar, you know, the same kind of rock, pop, you know.
Okay.
Again, huge influence from the UK and the States. Yes.
Right. And the money we know is the euro. We should cover that. And then we did cut the surfing. So, but if you did want to surf, I mean, could you just go farther south down in Spain or like around the bend? Is there surfing down that way? Like ocean surfing?
Yes. It's around Cadiz, which is right down south. Cadiz, you get the area that is more the Atlantic side. And that would be perfect.
Cadiz, C-A-D-I-Z.
Yes. Yes.
Gibraltar.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. That is perfect for surfing. Yes. Oh, again, because it's the Atlantic side, you see. It's just the Mediterranean is far too calm for the big waves.
Far too calm. Very good. Is there a lot of like places to stay there? Is it somewhat of a touristy area or is it easy
yes.
to?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. But you have to bear in mind that summers are much hotter down there, okay? In the south of Spain, summers are much hotter. The temperatures go around 104 as kind of normal in summer. Just to let you know.
Yeah. But the water is probably warm, right? Okay, great.
Yes.
Well, we are excited to come visit you at some point to say hi.
Please, yes, please.
It's your art exhibition. I don't know when this will happen, but.
We will do that. We will do the art exhibition and then we will go around the vineyards to do some visits. Yes.
That and the beach. And I want to do that. I want to smell pine trees with sea salt or sea water.
Yeah. Right? It's one of the most wonderful smells really because of that memory that brings me, you know. Yeah. It's just the best.
Yeah. Sounds amazing. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time and for sharing Barcelona and your heritage and upbringing it with us. It was just a
thank you guys. Thank you for having me. And it was really, really nice sharing all these things. And I really hope that, you know, I can finally meet you there in Barcelona and then I can show you all around.
Yes.
Sounds fantastic.
Okay.
Great. Perfect.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, can you please take a second and do a quick follow of the show? And rate us in your podcast app. And if you have a minute, we would really appreciate a review. Following and rating is the best way to support us. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. We're at Where Next Podcast. Thanks again.